How's everybody doing? First, I would like to say thanks to all my family and friends who came out today to support me. I really appreciate you all being here. One of the big things I knew that this moment was coming. One of the big things I wanted is that, it's going to be an emotional time. So you guys go ahead and strap in, okay? I'm probably going to cry. Don't act funny about it, okay? It happens. Okay, anyway, one of the things I wanted is that Mom would be here for my first sermon. And so I was talking to this lady a few weeks back, and she and my mom had taught her sons. And I was telling her, she's a believer, and I was telling her, you know, I'm really excited about this opportunity to preach, but, you know, unfortunately, Mom won't be there. And she cut me off. She said, stop. She said, you don't know what the Lord is going to have your mom doing when you're preaching. And I said, you're right. So, if Mom is able to witness this, I hope I do you proud. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, the other thing is, since I became an elder, my prayer life has changed. And it's changed because the Lord has brought all of you all into my prayer life. Generally, it's corporate, but sometimes it's individuals. But I know that the Lord loves you. I know it because he bothers me about you all. And I'm like, why am I worried about such and such? Or why do I care about this? Because God has a heart for his people. God has a heart for you. Right? Amen. So the title is Change the World Joseph Style. And so I came up with this because one day at work, I heard someone talking and a couple things didn't go their way. So they were talking about themselves in a way that was just depressing to me. There's like, oh, it's not going to happen. Everything didn't go the way I had planned 10 years ago. My 10-year plan is not going to work out. Now I have to adjust my 15-year plan. And so I was thinking, what about Joseph? Joseph, I'm pretty sure when he had those dreams, he thought things were going to go a certain way, and they went different. So, speaking of, when you were a child, did you have dreams? What were you going to do? I know when I was a child, I dreamed that I was going to be rich. Yeah. Now, technically, human capital-wise, I'm very rich. I have 5 beautiful kids, and there is no price I could put on them. So I am rich. And my wife. I'm sorry. That came out wrong. Anyway, what about when you came to the Lord and when you met the Lord in your prayer closet and he put something on your heart, whether it was how he was going to gift you and how you were going to use that gift to change the world. And then you went to church and some prophet or some elder or some encourager spoke into your life the very thing that you heard in your prayer closet. Was there anything that anybody could have said to take that from you at that moment? Could an old curmudgeon Christian be like, God's not going to use you? No. Like, no, he's going to. He met me in my prayer closet. He met me at church. I'm going to hold on to that. What's my point? I know what the Lord has spoken over me. I know what God has said to me in my prayer closet. Some of those things have come to pass. Some of it not yet. But between the time that the Lord has revealed this itty-bitty picture of what he wants to do with me and now, I've done everything in my power to make those things come to pass. And my reward has been frustration. I have been in situations that I really did not feel God, and there was too many terrible things going on in that particular moment to think that he was next to me. But he was. He was right next to me. And he is. He is right next to me. God does not rise and fall like a sunset. Doesn't come and go. There's no shade in the presence of God. God is steadfast in his love for you. Not because of you, but because that's who he is. I hope you'll be able to see that today in this message. Joseph had a dream and a passion. And as I read about him, and even though there's so many details about his life, I realized it's all about God. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." Now, in this particular verse, he was talking about the children of Israel robbing from him. But that's his character. But he revealed his character there. He says, "I don't change." God does not change. His people change. Your environment change. You change your shirt. God does not change. Webster's dictionary defines steadfast as firmly fixed in place, not subject to change, firm in belief and determination, loyal and faithful. Does that sound like God? Amen. God is mentioned. I'm going to get through this thing pretty quick. I'm going too fast. I need to slow down a little bit. Maybe leaving room for the Holy Spirit. Huh? God is mentioned as being steadfast 219 times in the Bible. 132 of those times are in Psalms, and most of those have to do with his love. That's wonderful. So let's talk about Joseph. He was 17 years old, had a couple of dreams and a coat, and ended up in a pit. Yeah. Amen. Every time I read about the stories, I'm thinking, man, his brothers were rough. I mean, this wasn't the only thing they did. You remember when their sister was assaulted? What happened? Murder and pillaging, right? And then let's talk about Jacob. Now, I don't want to be too harsh on Jacob because the promise came through Israel, right? So, you know. Anyway, but after the sons did what they did, after they did the murder and pillaging, in Genesis 34 and 30, Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have brought trouble on me by making me stink to the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites and Perizzites. My numbers are few. If they gather themselves against me and attack me, I shall be destroyed, both I and my household." He was concerned about him, not about the murder, not about the pillaging. He was concerned about him. So Joseph was an extension of that. Joseph was the son of his old age. It was his pride, Joseph was. So what did what happened in those 17 years of Joseph, first 17 years of Joseph's life? It probably sounded like this. Jacob was saying to his sons, "Hey, make room for Joseph. Hey, Joseph, don't you go out there herding those lambs. That's for your common brothers. Gad, get out there with those lambs. Joseph, come over here and let's talk. Let's communicate. Simeon, Levi, you better put down those lamb chops. You know those lamb chops are for Joseph. You get the ears and the nostrils." Right? So you have 17 years of that. Those brothers are pretty fed up, right? They only needed a slight nudge to say, "Okay, we're going to take care of this problem." So God shared with Joseph a part of the plan, and it went to Joseph's head. So Joseph gathered all his family around. "Hey, everybody, come around. I heard we got some good news, right? I had this dream, and I was this humongous, glorious bale of hay. And you guys were these little dainty bales of hay around me. And you were bowing to me. Isn't that great? Where you guys going? No, come back. Come back. Daddy, tell them to come back. Okay, I have one more. Okay. Okay. I was the sun. And you guys were the moon and stars. Now the sun is at the center, right? And the moon and stars, they're good, but we don't really need those. But they're good, right?" That was it. So next thing you know, Joseph's in the pit. He's listening to his brothers talk about whether we're going to kill him. Are we going to do something else to him? But God had favor on Joseph. Imagine that, at the bottom of the pit, after being so arrogant and rude to his brothers. God had favor on Joseph. So, at that moment, a merchant comes by. Brothers pull him out, sell him to the merchant for 20 pieces of silver, which is the amount that that the Egyptians paid for slaves at that time, for disabled slaves, not a normal strong slave. It would be a disabled slave. So, in that time, what has to happen? Between the time that Joseph was in the pit and he traveled to Egypt, what did Joseph have to do? He had to transition because he wasn't going to be coddled. He wasn't going to be pampered in Egypt. He was a slave. Not only that, he was sold to Potiphar, who was a military man. So I'm pretty sure his house was ran pretty strictly. He couldn't sulk. He couldn't make a tremendous amount of mistakes because eventually Potiphar probably would have put hands on him. He had to learn the culture. He had to learn the language. He had to learn how a slave speaks to his master, how a slave speaks to his master's friends. He had to learn how to clean this, how to clean that, and he had to deal with his emotions. His daddy wasn't there no more. His baby brother wasn't there no more. His mom had passed away recently. It wasn't easy. Transition isn't easy. I had a story. So my father, God bless him, felt at one point, and I probably told this story, most of y'all probably heard this story, thought I was a little soft. My hands were smooth, right? I was about 4 years old. So you think being four, that's the area that you could remain, you know, you still have a couple years of being a softie, right? Not that. So I don't know what he said to my mom, but we went out to a boxing rink. And in the boxing rink, we get there, and I believe it was a little Oscar De La Hoya in the ring. And he was just throwing punches and everything, and I look, and I'm, you know, I haven't transitioned. He puts me in the ring with little Oscar De La Hoya. Now, little Oscar De La Hoya was six, but he was boxing like he was 18. I mean, the punches, I could hear them as the wind goes by. And so I get up, he gave me gloves, I'm so excited, I walk up to little Oscar De La Hoya, and bam! He hit me right in my stomach, knocked the wind out of me. I transitioned. I realized if I go in there and I continue to play, he's going to beat the snot out of me. I got to do something. I had to transition. And that's what Joseph had to do because it wasn't nice anymore. Everything wasn't going his way anymore. Thank you, Dad. So having to deal with all these obstacles, Joseph was promoted anyway. Despite the obstacles, Joseph was promoted to the head slave. Genesis 39, 2 and 3. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was in the house of the Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. Two things. And real quick, when I say two things, it doesn't mean I'm going to say two things. It means listen up. I may say three things. I may say four. I may say one thing. Two things. Even though Joseph was into the next worst situation I could imagine, the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. How was he with Joseph? His situation was terrible. The second thing. In this terrible situation, his master recognized the hand of God on his life. Joseph was a witness and a blessing to Potiphar in this terrible situation. Your situation is not an opportunity to break away from your purpose. We know the story. We know that being a head slave wasn't Joseph's final destination. But what did Joseph think? Joseph probably thought, hey, all right. Well, I'm at the top. My master trusts me. Pretty soon, I'll probably save up some money and, you know, send word to Dad that I'm okay. Or maybe master trusts me enough that I can go out there myself and see my dad again. I think it's going to be okay. Nope. Nope. It took 11 verses to ascend to the top and 5 verses to go to prison. Now, real quick, to show the favor of God. In Egypt, at this time, a slave that was accused of a violent crime could be executed on the spot. Potiphar was a military man, and I'm sure he was not unaccustomed to violence, especially since his wife says she had been assaulted. The Bible says that that Potiphar's anger simmered towards Joseph. So, favor of God. So, Joseph's in prison. The prison, I read, was actually a big pit. It was a big pit, and they put the prisoners in there. It was 400 miles, the main prison was 400 miles south of the Nile Delta. Most of the prisoners were debtors, deserters. There are always, you know, obviously there's murders and people, thieves and people of that ilk. Usually prison wasn't a place where you served your penalty. Prison was a place you stayed until you received your penalty. A lot of times it was body mutilation. But all the prisoners had an accusation against them. Joseph did not. So what's that mean? He could have been in there indefinitely. That could have been his mentality. I'm in here for the rest of my life. Right? That's terrible. He did not have a point where he can look and say, in 10 years, I'll be out. In 5 years, I'll be out. It was indefinite. He could have been there indefinitely. So here we are, Joseph's in double bondage. Not only is he a slave, but he's a slave in prison. Joseph was at the below the bottom of the caste system in Egypt at that time. It was Pharaoh, the nobles, soldiers, merchants, artisans, farmers, and slaves. Since he was a prisoner, he had to be below the slaves. God allowed Joseph to be as far away from the ultimate goal as possible. He was at the lowest caste, and he was a far distance. God separated him from the ultimate place where he would be. God had him in prison with an indefinite sentence. Where was God? Well, Genesis 39 and 21 says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." 39:23 says, "The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed." What do you mean the Lord showed him favor? He was in prison. He was a slave. Huh? What do you mean the Lord is showing you favor? You lost a loved one. You lost your job. Your kids don't have anything to eat. Your refrigerator is bare. What do you mean the Lord showed you favor? The Lord showed you favor. Well, Joseph's situation did not limit God. Joseph's situation didn't damper God's love for Joseph. And judging by the way that he dealt with the cupbearer and the baker, Joseph had not lost his faith. So Joseph meets the cupbearer and the baker. I say that Joseph hadn't lost his faith because these guys come with dreams. And who interprets dreams? Who interprets dreams? God. If his relationship wasn't right with God, there's no way he could interpret those dreams properly. I'm assuming. But that's what I think connects. Anyway. He interprets the dreams that come to pass. The cupbearer, he makes some promises. "Hey, Joseph, I'm never going to forget you. We like this. Yeah, as soon as I get back, you know, I'm going to tell Pharaoh about what you did for me. Yeah, don't worry. I got you." So 2 years go by. He's been forgotten. But it's okay. But God. So eventually, Pharaoh has a dream that could not be interpreted but by the man of God. The time was right. The cupbearer remembered. The word says Joseph had to shave and get changed. And this is important because there were a lot of governors in the Egyptian empire. They weren't all Egyptian. So the Egyptians were concerned with not having the body hair and being clean. The Amorite governors weren't necessarily that way. So he could have came straight out of prison if he was going to an Amorite governor, and that would have been fine. No, he went to Pharaoh. So he had to shave and clean up. What I found interesting is the first thing that Joseph said when he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, "Can you interpret the dream?" And Joseph says in Genesis 41 and 16, Joseph answered Pharaoh, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." Joseph humbly spoke, but confidently proclaimed God. God gives Joseph the interpretation in the throne. A former slave and prisoner is now second in command of one of the greatest empires ever to exist. Joseph went into his first pit as an arrogant boy. And he came out of his last pit as a confident, humble man of God. When Joseph was a boy, God gave him a vision and he proclaimed his own greatness. When Joseph was a man, God gave him the answer to the dream, and Joseph proclaimed the greatness of God. I breezed over a lot of the story. I think I focused on what the Holy Spirit wanted to convey to his people. Psalms 46 and 10. Psalms 46 and 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." How was Joseph so faithful? In an indefinite prison sentence, how was Joseph so faithful? I feel like he kept his heart on God and his hands to whatever was in front of him. Me and my family, we were out yesterday doing like adopt a highway thing. So we're picking up trash yesterday. And so as we're picking up trash and we're on the road and we're kind of scattered, and I remembered my military experience. In the military, when you do police call, well, in the Army, I don't know what the Air Force guys do. But anyway, in the Army, what you do is you line up shoulder to shoulder, you get this distance, and the field could be 500 meters long. But what you do is look down and you pick up whatever's in front of you. You may see trash, you know, 20 meters in front of you. You don't look at that trash. Because if you're looking at that trash, you're going to miss what's at your feet. Now, I know that's kind of a poor analogy, like, for life-wise, because things that happen aren't trash. But I think it makes a point. If you're looking at something way down the way, now, it's occasionally to look up and see what your goal is. But you got to handle what God has put in front of you. You got to tell. If you take care of what God puts in front of you, when you get to that dream, you don't have nothing behind you. Right? You take care of everything. Amen. Okay. Police call. Fear, sin, and our memory of sin causes us to self-impose an exile from God. The antidote is to turn to God with everything you have. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. I'm learning. I got to work with them. Okay. All right. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest on me.'" God is what he is. At each stage of Joseph's life, the word did not say, "God showed favor most of the days." It didn't say, "Yeah, God, he was around." No, we are reminded of God's favor on Joseph, but I don't believe that God ever spoke audibly to Joseph to remind him of that love. God was with him. I think probably Jacob poured into him. He believed the promise, and he was faithful. He held on. He trusted God. God is steadfast, and that is evident in Joseph's life. Two things to remember. First, this life is not about you. It is about using everything that God has given you to serve your Creator. The second thing, God is steadfast and a provider. He provided Abraham a ram. He provided Joseph an opportunity. He provided you and me with saving grace through Jesus Christ. He did not leave you in the pit. He was there. He was steadfast in your bondage. And he is steadfast while you were in a foreign land. He did not leave you when you were betrayed, but he promoted you. So what do you do? What do you say? What do you do? What do you say? You know, Jamil, it sounds good, but I'm so old. I'm old physically. I'm old mentally. I'm old spiritually. I'm worn out. Well, I say use your wisdom. You say, "I don't like to socialize. I'm socially awkward." What can I do, Jamil? Pray. Well, Jamil, I'm so afraid that if I prophesy and it may be wrong, what do I do then? Well, I say go back, seek the Lord, and try it again. You may have trouble in this world, but just like Joseph, your trouble neither slows down nor speeds up the will of God. He is on time. People, God has given you everything you need to glorify him. Sit in that throne that he made for you. Live in that house that he built for you. Pray, trust, and step out. Live every day like you're stepping on the water, walking towards Jesus Christ. Not like you're looking back at the city that's burning down and turning into a pillar of salt. Step out. Trust God. You may fall. He's going to pick you up. He'll show favor when things go bad. He's right there. He's steadfast, unmovable. Right? Well, that's the end of my sermon, and it went quickly. So let me pray for you, and then you guys can go get your kids or your song. I'm here all the time, and then I forget the order of how things go. Anyway, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and we just praise you for the gifts that you've given us. Father God, we don't want to shy away in some false sense of humility, Father God, but we want to step into what you've given us. We want to step into the gifts that you've given us to bless others, because our life isn't about us, Father God. We want everybody to know about Jesus Christ, so give us the ability, give us the sense to reach those goals, Father God. And I just praise you and I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, bless these people. I pray for traveling mercies in Jesus' name. Amen.